But the more I thought about it, the funnier it seemed to me. I tried to stop it, but I could feel I was about to laugh. Not at McMurphy's singing, but at my own self. "This question's got me going. Won't somebody set me right? Does the spearmint lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight?" He held out that last note and twiddled it down me like a feather. I couldn't help but start to chuckle, and this made me scared I'd get to laughing and not be able to stop. But just then McMurphy jumped off his bed and went to rustling through his nightstand, and I hushed. I clenched my teeth, wondering what to do now. It had been a long time since I'd let anyone hear me do any more than grunt or bellow. I heard him shut the bedstand, and it echoed like a boiler door. I heard him say, "Here," and something lit on my bed. Little, just the size of a lizard or a snake. "Juicy fruit's the best I can do for you at the moment, Chief. Package I want off Scanlon pitching pennies." And he got back in bed. And before I realized what I was doing, I told him, "Thank you." He didn't say anything right off. He was up on his elbow, watching me the way he'd watched the black boy, waiting for me to say something else. I picked up the package of gum from the bedspread and held it in my hand and told him, "Thank you." It didn't sound like much because my throat was rusty and my tongue creaked. He told me I sounded a little out of practice and laughed at that. I tried to laugh with him, but it was a squawking sound, like a pullet trying to crow. It sounded more like crying than laughing. He told me not to hurry, that he had till 6:30 in the morning to listen if I wanted to practice. He said a man been still long as me probably had a considerable lot to talk about, and he lay back on his pillow and waited. I thought for a minute for something to say to him, but the only thing that came to my mind was the kind of thing one man can't say to another because it sounds wrong in words. When he saw I couldn't say anything, he crossed his hands behind his head and started talking himself. "You know, Chief, I was just remembering a time down in the Willamette Valley. I was picking beans outside of Eugene and considering myself damn lucky to get the job. It was in the early 30s, so there wasn't many kids able to get jobs. I got the job by proving to the bean boss I could pick just as fast and clean as any of the adults. Anyway, I was the only kid in the rows, nobody else around me but grown-ups. And after I tried a time or two to talk to them, I saw they weren't for listening to me. Scrawny little patch-quilt redhead, anyhow. So I hushed. I was so peeved at them not listening to me, I kept hushed the live-long 4 weeks I picked that field, working right alongside of them, listening to them prattle on about this uncle or that cousin. Or if somebody didn't show up for work, gossip about him. 4 weeks, not a peep out of me, till I think, by God, they forgot I could talk, the moss-backed old bastards.